It's mocha latte time.
Great show coming up this week. I have all new long-awaited interview, Crave Coffee Shop, with one of the owners of Crave in Wommelsdorf, Pennsylvania, and the coffee scene in Roanoke, Virginia, as well as some new exclusive music from my dog Aldous from Williamsburg, Virginia, coming up next. Search for the best mocha latte in the world. This is Circus Boy Nathan coming to you from Williamsburg, Virginia. This is a podcast where every week I explore different coffee scenes around the country and search for the best mocha latte in the world, as the title of the podcast suggests. So coming to you from a different town every week out here on the circus, and really the circus is my day job, but I have a passion for coffee. And always try to make up a show here, and always the vocal portion I always try to make unscripted, unedited for your dear less listening pleasure around the world there. And so exciting show this week. I'll just give you a little preface. First of all, the interview, well, before we get to the interview, I'll tell you a little bit about my week. It was chilly this week. We were, as you know, 2 weeks ago was Thanksgiving, and then we went to Roanoke, Virginia, and I went from Roanoke all the way down, took a couple days to visit some friends in Augusta, Georgia down there, and then was back in Roanoke to do our week of shows. And this week we are in Charlottesville, Virginia, but today I'm in Williamsburg. So if I haven't confused you enough in the past 30 seconds, I'm coming to you from Williamsburg, Virginia, not Williamsburg, New York, which is also a fine place to visit, but this is Williamsburg, Virginia, you know, near historic Jamestown and Newport News and Norfolk and Hampton. So yeah, but yeah, so good week. We were in Roanoke, Virginia, and it's kind of nestled there in southwestern Virginia. There's a university, Virginia Tech is in Blacksburg nearby, and it's right close to the mountains. The Blue Ridge Parkway goes but it almost goes right through Roanoke, and yeah, kind of a quiet town. They definitely have commerce going on. It's not a college town by any means, but it's kind of a nice place to visit, I'd say. Pretty family oriented, and we played at the Civic Center there this week, and I took a bike trip, about 600 miles round trip down to Augusta for a few days to visit my friend Mark and his family down there, Mark and Tira, and the family, and so yeah, it was a good time. Got to try a little bit of coffee up there, and see how the coffee scene is changing in Augusta, and I may comment that on that in a future podcast. But yeah, so that was my week, and then Sunday night we drove up to Charlottesville, Virginia, home of UVA, University of Virginia, and we are there this week, and that's where next week you'll get the coffee scene on that, and Williamsburg, so you get a two for one for next week. So in any case, I'm sitting here at a coffee shop and a coffee beanery in Williamsburg, one of my old places I used to come to write quite a bit. But before I get to the coffee scene in Roanoke, I'm going to go ahead and we'll jump right to the interview. This is for any of you out there who ever wondered about what goes into, let's say, opening a coffee shop, and the things you think about, and location, the product. You know, do you serve just coffee, or do you serve coffee and ice cream or gelato, or do you do sandwiches? You know, so we had the great opportunity, actually, 2 weeks ago, you remember, during Thanksgiving, I was visiting my parents for a turkey day there, and they were telling me, oh, Nathan, you got to check out this coffee shop, and they were raving about it, and turns out the name of the place is Crave, C-R-A-V-E, like, you know, you crave coffee, and I have to say, I was really surprised to find it's probably one of the best coffee shops, I mean, as far as attention to detail and everything that I've visited in the U.S. And I would rank it among one of the top in the U.S. It definitely has it's hard to explain over here. You have to go there for yourself. It's there in Wilmersdorf, Pennsylvania, which we'll talk a little bit more about the location. But I met the owners, Peter and Corey. They opened it together as a team. And Corey took a few minutes to sit down and do an interview with us. So here it is. Check it out. All right, well, let's see. We're here sitting, got my sister, dad, and mom, and Corey. And we're here at Corey and Peter's place called Crave. So welcome, Corey, to Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World.
Thank you. Nice to be speaking here with you.
Thank you. Now, I have to tell our listeners out there, we only have one microphone that we're sharing today. So you'll have to bear with us if we clip a word or two. Going back and forth. So Corey, tell me, we were just talking here a little bit about over at Mocha Latte, of course, about how you got started in the coffee thing. Can you give me a little bit of background? Like, you're in landscaping, right?
Yes. My partner and I do landscaping, and we do creative interior spaces in our off season. So we decided that we want to create an interior space for ourselves, and we had thought about different retail possibilities, but every morning for the last 10 years we've been meeting at a coffee shop, and we thought, boy, this is something that we'd love to do and have our own input on and create a really cool, wonderful space. So that's kind of what we set out to do. Neither one of us had any kind of background in restaurant or food service industry before, so we did a lot of research, and the internet's a wonderful instrument for that, and basically came up with a layout. We did our own plans, submitted them for approval, and started construction. We built the whole place, with the exception of a couple of the utilities, we built the whole place by ourselves, and designed and created everything that you're looking at.
Yeah, and it's going to be hard to describe this. there really is so much to look at. You walk in, and your first impression is like you're almost walking into a painting, because there's so much, you know, variety. I mean, it's like you have the basic, you know, brick structure, but you walk in, it's just an explosion of colors, and and everything is done in a creative way. There's nothing that's really cookie cutter, you know, in the whole place.
That's right. What we wanted to do here is create a warm and fun atmosphere that people would want to come and hang out for a while. The whole concept here is a mix of the new with the old, and we expose some of the old brick on our building, and then we have new walls and the new painted walls. We have old sheet metal here. This corrugated steel was from one of our buildings in the back that we needed to replace the doors on. So we recycled the corrugated steel and used that as the valance and facade for our counter. and then coupled with new diamond plate for the shiny new. And then we have some actual Victorian antiques, like our fireplace mantle here. So we're trying to do, like I said, a mix of the new with the old, where the old items have history and they've been somewhere and they have a story to tell. And you know, it's up to the coffee drinker that's sitting here in our sofa enjoying it to figure out, you know, boy, where does that come from, or look at how that was used, or wow, what is that? So, you know, it serves many purposes, but it's to basically create a look that's inspiring and comfortable and gets people to think about what's going on around them.
Yeah, I found, like, just from all the coffee shops that I visited, that really one of the reasons why someone would, say, go to a coffee shop as opposed to making coffee in their house is, number one, the quality of the coffee, but number two is it's a change from the everyday, you know, their everyday pace. Like, it offers them an environment.
The ordinary grind.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, they go there to escape their, you know, their normal world, as they say, and, like, you walk in and it really just kind of transports you into almost like a festive kind of atmosphere. Now, you said your partner, Peter, he's an artist, is that right?
Yes, he has a bachelor's in art education and a master's in sculpture. And what he brings to our team is obviously the creative drive. He views things with an askewed view on how things should ultimately look, and I bring to the table more of the construction mechanical end. So he more or less dreams it up, and I help him build it and make it work.
Yeah, which sounds like, you know, kind of like the perfect pairing, really, for you guys.
Yeah, it is. It really is. It's we've been together now for 13 years. And you know, it's a marriage, to say the least. A lot of give and take, but you know, when the two of us sit down and want to hammer out something creative, a lot of this, like the aesthetics of this, of our coffee shop, really weren't nailed down. It was more or less created as we went, so it was on the fly, and one thing led to another, and so, you know, the creativity just kind of kept rolling from one wall to the next.
Yeah, you can really see that in here. That's great. Now you were telling me a little bit, one of the big challenges I know of anybody opening a new shop, especially someone who hasn't been in the coffee business, is finding good product, you know, and tell us a little bit, and everyone out there listening, a little bit about the process, like your search that you went through as far as the coffee and your food and gelato that you used.
Well, initially, we kind of believe that you need to surround yourself with people that know more than you do in order to succeed. So we went to a local coffee shop who roast their own beans, and they were voted 2 years in a row as a favorite coffee shop in the Berks County area, a place called Max Crema's. And we spoke with her. Her name is Michelle Granitz, and she's respected in the area as a top barista, and she competes nationally. And so we spoke with her and told her what we wanted to do, and she was very open to helping us get some leads with some coffee companies. And ultimately, we ended up choosing Counterculture Coffee, and that was one of the companies that she recommended. So we chose them because their drive for quality and consistency, and that's what we're really all about. So that was, you know, after we met with them, we knew that we wanted to go with them as our supplier for beans.
And you said they did a nice job of setting you up. Like what you said originally when you met with them, that they gave you a drip coffee pot to try, to actually kind of do like a cupping and try out, you know, different varieties that they roast, right?
Yeah, they actually just hooked us up initially with the beans and explained how we should brew it in our own coffee makers. But they gave us a couple different regional coffees and allowed us to kind of experiment with on our own, at our leisure with those beans. And then as we were approaching the, a little closer to needing to nail more specifics down, then they came to us with blends that they already had blended, in their, I guess, a lab. And the first blend that we chose or that we tried, we really loved, and we decided that we didn't want to go any further. And it ends up that two of the three beans that are in our house blend were some of the samples that we were given, and it ends up, working out really well for us that, that was a coffee we enjoyed, and now that's the coffee that we're serving here.
Now, you guys, you don't only have coffee and espresso, but you also do gelato and I think sandwiches, right? I saw up on the menu there.
Yeah, we have, we have our espressos and our specialty coffees. We have the drip coffee. We also have Adagio teas, green and black teas, both hot and cold. We also have pastries, which we employ our own pastry chef. So all the pastries are made in our prep room and baked weekly, for our own shop. We have gelato, which is Palazzolo's gelato and sorbetto. And here again, that was a favorite on for Oprah. So it made her O list, and anything on the O list is top quality stuff. So we found out about Palazzolo's and decided to go with them for our gelato. And then as far as food's concerned, we offer different sandwiches, wraps, grilled paninis, croissants, all of which are handmade here. And then we have soups and some pasta salads, things like that. So we try and offer a variety of stuff that's healthy with high quality ingredients. And but we're keeping it on the light side, and just trying to offer something different than your local fast food store.
Sure. Yeah. Now I noticed when I came in, the name of the place is Crave, and obviously for those of you listening, you're probably not familiar unless you're from Central Pennsylvania. You wouldn't realize that this place sticks out. Having when I get to travel around, you usually expect. I don't know, I guess in cities where there's higher competition for it to be like just, more care taken. And so this is, I'd say, really, rare to find a coffee shop of this quality, in such a, rural farming community area. So where did you guys come up with the name, first of all? And then has it been a challenge being in this kind of market for the coffee shop as far as business?
As far as the name, we kind of sit down and do a little bit of creative powwowing together and just start writing names down. Even if they're stupid, it maybe sometimes spurs an idea from someone else or add to it. Basically, what we wanted to do, our objective was to have a really catchy one-word name that would be easy to remember and easy to say and kind of summarize the experience up in to that one word. So in coming up with different words, I actually came up with the word crave, and it more or less sums it up. It's all things that you would crave are right here. And our official name is Crave Coffee and Gelato, but everybody really recognizes and knows us by the word crave. And as far as being in the sleepy little town of Wilmersdorf, Pennsylvania, it is a true challenge. This is a farming rural community, and everybody's kind of dug into their ruts, and this is this type of coffee house is something that you would see in larger cities, and so this is a real change for this area, and people are slow to change, but they're welcoming it, and they love it. Everybody really wants to come back, and that's the whole idea, is to get them here once, and their experience will keep them coming back.
I noticed we had talked about earlier, we have a band setting up here, and they're making faces at us as we're talking. You had mentioned earlier that I just lost my train of thought. I can't remember. I guess it was along those same lines of people kind of being hesitant to try, something new. But your partner Peter was saying that he really envisioned it as a not just like kind of like a place that you just stop by on the way to work, but almost as more of a destination, really, as a place that people seek out, and really as a treat and make a special trip to go see.
Exactly. You could say that we're conveniently located on High Street, which is the main street of our town, but it's really not convenient to many people other than the people that live right here. So as a matter of convenience, we weren't banking on that. We thought from the beginning that this was going to be something that was more like, Peter had said, a destination, somewhere where somebody wants to go there. And boy, they heard about it, and let's get in the car and drive up and check it out. Our hopes and our dreams would be to, in the near future, be able to open, another location, maybe in a more viable market, a college town or more of a business district where you have, a lot more people and businesses to draw off of. But for now, this is a really good training ground for us. We can work out all of the kinks, and like I said, we weren't in the food industry, so this is a real eye opener. We've learned more in the 4 months that we're open than we ever thought we would have.
So, is that how long you've been open? About 4 months, is about right?
Yeah, we opened about the middle of August, so we're right around 4 months, and things have been going good. It's a steady climb uphill, and we don't have anything to compare to, no previous sales, no records from the past, so every day is a new day for us, and you just try and learn from your mistakes and offer a great product and consistent product, and word of mouth should lead the way. This weekend we're having a feature article written in our local newspaper. That's going to be in the business section, so we're hoping that that'll go out and introduce us to a majority of the people in the area that really haven't met us yet.
Yeah, just to give everyone listening an idea, they're located in Pennsylvania. We call us central Pennsylvania, really, and
yeah.
We're about, I'd say, east of Reading, or west of Reading, rather, about, what'd you say, about 20 minutes?
Yeah, 15, 20 minutes. We're approximately halfway between Reading and Hershey on 422.
And that's roughly about, I'd say, maybe hour and a half north of Philly, northwest Philly?
Yeah, you can get to Philly, if you're doing good with traffic, in about an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, got the radar detector on, you can make it in about an hour if you got it's definitely, I've been all around, I went to high school and college basically in this area, I'm familiar with the coffee scene, and there's, to my dismay, there wasn't really, I didn't find too much, going on, but that's one of the purposes of this whole search and podcast is to find places just like this, check them out, find out what they're all about, and you guys really seem to have a big advantage in that you've worked together with your partner for 13 years, so you guys definitely know how to feed off each other, and it really seems like I don't know. You started a good thing. I mean, because, for example, you were talking about quality. For you coffee people out there, they have a three-station La Marzocco machine that they have for their espresso, and they do all their drip coffee, it looked like, into vacuum pots, yeah. Like thermoses there, and got fresh gelato. They have how many flavors?
Right now we have, I believe it's 18 flavors, and... The nice thing with the gelato is they're in a 1 liter or a 1 gallon pan, and so as a flavor is sold, we can replace it with another pan, even if we want to introduce a new flavor, as opposed to like say a traditional ice cream display, which has a 3 gallon tub. You got to sell the whole 3 gallons before you're putting a new product in, and so this way. Your product is fresher, you can introduce more flavors more often, and just the way that our gelato case is displayed with the gelato angled towards the customer makes for easy viewing, and as opposed to walking up and having to look into a chest freezer and look into a cardboard bucket, basically.
Well, even your partner Peter said, which I had never even given this a thought, but he said when you walk in, you have the different colors, you know, right there that you see, which the colors of the gelato itself becomes part of the environment, you know, and that's one of those liminal things that so often goes unnoticed, you know. But I mean, you do notice it in your whole, you know, attitude and your environment, which reflects your, you know, it reflects your I don't know what you call it. You know, how I can't think of the right word, you know, like how you're just your whole, I guess, attitude, you know, and persona when you go into a place. And
sure.
yeah so, well, great. Well, I really appreciate your time and taking time to sit down here with the Best Mocha Latte Search and give us you know, your view on coffee shop. If any are listening, if you're listening from France, yeah, hop on a plane and come over and check out Crave Coffee Shop in central Pennsylvania. You won't be disappointed. And if you're within a couple hundred miles, it would definitely make a good weekend trip. You can stop here on your way down to Lancaster County. Definitely would be on your way, and come check it out. Do you guys have a website up yet? Or
our web is currently under construction. As it would be, that's one of those things that you know, we've just focused on creating our business first, and even though that's a vital part of today's world, we didn't want to focus on that and take time away from what's really, you know, the importance at hand right now. So it's I would suspect that shortly in the new year it'll be up and running. But it would be cravecoffeeandgelato.com.
Okay, so we'll look for that. Yeah, and I'll definitely put when I put this podcast up, look for a picture on the website. I'll put a picture of the storefront, and well, I think my dad was running around here. Was he taking pictures? Yeah, yeah. He's.
We can hook you up with some photos. We have some good stuff that we can send an email to you.
All right.
But. I appreciate you stopping by. I hope that your mocha was a good one, and
it
ranks high amongst the competitors out there. And really, I think anybody who's into coffee and into what they're doing can make a good drink. And you know, for us, it's not only the experience of the coffee, but the experience of the shop, and that's what we hope to get from. All the people that come in here is a all-around great experience.
Yeah, it's in the details. You know, they say life's in the details, and that's so true. And I think, you know, the fact that, you know, you yourself, you know, have been in, it was the landscaping industry there.
Yep.
Yeah, for how many years?
Well, I've been landscaping, oh boy, for over 20 years now.
Wow.
But even with our landscape business, you know, everything's down to the final detail.
Yep.
and we don't compromise quality for price, and you know, sometimes you just have to do things because it has to be that way.
Yeah, and I think that's something that all too often goes overlooked, you know, in a lot of businesses that are just,
that I've visited that are interested in just kind of, you know, cashing in on the coffee wave that's, you know, kind of sweeping the nation, and all too often they, you know, sacrifice detail or quality for you know, speed and the quick buck. So yeah. So well, thank you, Corey. And
all right, thank you. I appreciate you stopping, and look forward to checking this out in your site, and hopefully anyone that heard this will come in and check us out.
Most definitely, most definitely. Good luck, man. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Enjoyed hearing that. If you have any comments, you know, about maybe interviews that you want to hear, or questions about interviews, or questions about mocha lattes, you can always write in at Podomatic. Or no, wait, no. Scratch that. You can always write in at bestmochalatte@podomatic.com and send email there, or you can go to the website at bestmochalatte, that's all one word, .podomatic.com. For you, those of you in Poland, that would be bestmochalatte@podomatic.com. But I don't know if anyone's in Poland is listening, so I would add that. But any case, yeah, so would love to hear from you. Now, onto the coffee scene this week. Like I said, I'm in Williamsburg here at the Coffee Beanery, and I'm not gonna go into the Williamsburg coffee scene too much because I have a special on location a bit for next week, so I'll say that I won't put that in this podcast. But I'm gonna go ahead and talk about the Roanoke coffee scene, and then next week will be Williamsburg and Charlottesville coffee scene. So the Roanoke coffee scene, it was mainly how do I say? It was it was pretty lame for the most part. There's basically there's a lot of Mill Mountain coffee and tea places there in Roanoke, and that's kind of the local chain. I didn't see any Starbucks around, and so there's about three or four of the Mill Mountain coffee and tea, and I tried the one right downtown there. There's an old market, kind of like a farmer's market type place, right downtown in Roanoke, and I tried the Mill Mountain coffee and tea there, and it's kind of a nice space. You can definitely tell it's part of a change, just the in the care that they take with presenting the inside of the coffee shop, but it kind of has that, I'd say, well, it's almost generic, you know, like the wood floors and kind of like that copper tile ceiling, painted copper tile ceiling, and some artwork on the walls, and, you know, the usual coffee bins behind the counter. But it was a welcoming atmosphere, very nice in the afternoon there with the sun coming in, and they do have free Wi-Fi, so it's a lot of kind of local people hanging out, and they have the downtown dressed up real nice for the holidays. And but in any case, the mocha latte I wrote here was, well, they served auto to go cup. They had auto whipped cream. There was no foam because it was from the, you know, they had whipped cream on there. Slightly bitter espresso. Weak and mediocre chocolate taste. So the whole drink almost to the point where it was bitter. So it was definitely average. And I gave them a 3.0. And as always, you can find the bean scale at bestmochalatte.blogspot.com. And I have been working on getting the reviews up there. I'm kind of a little bit behind in getting the pictures and the written reviews on there. But yeah, that's where the bean scale is. And you can check back on there periodically. And the only other place that was really independent, not a chain, in Roanoke that I found was Mojo Cafe, which I'm glad I went to, actually. It's an independent cafe there on, I think it's Brambleton, something like that, Road. It's a nice little place. It's not very big, and if you're not looking for it and don't know where it is, you'll probably miss it and drive by like I did. I had to call for directions. It's not too fancy, too fancy decorated, but they have a lot of local art that they post up there. They have a couple new artists every month, and you can get sandwiches and other things like that in there. So for the Mocha Latte, I wrote, I'm glad I visited this place. Very nice foam, even though there wasn't any latte art, but it was latte art quality foam. The chocolate was okay. I'd say it was really well balanced. Pretty well balanced overall. Just needed a little better espresso taste and an in-house cup. They deserve it. And they did ask on whipped cream, so I gave them a 4.3. So it was like I said, very nice, very well balanced, and a nice little place. Definitely the best that I found in Roanoke. There are a couple other places in the area, like if you would drive out to Salem as far as coffee shops, but I didn't get time to drive out there. It's probably a good 20, 30 minutes from the downtown where we were at. So definitely check that out. So that wraps up the coffee scene for Roanoke. There's not, like I said, there's not really too much happening there coffee-wise. This coming week, though, it's going to be pretty exciting. We're in Williamsburg, Virginia. And that's where I am right now, actually, historic Williamsburg. And next week I'm going to have all about the coffee scene in Williamsburg, and especially this time of year. I don't know, maybe I'll make it to a holiday podcast next week, because it's decorated beautifully here during the holidays. They really go all out with the colonial theme. And So next week's going to be the coffee scenes from Williamsburg, Virginia, and also Charlottesville, Virginia, which is where the show is this week. And then, after that, we actually have a couple weeks off, and then we open in West Palm Beach, Florida. So we're going to be in sunny Florida coming up. Also, I'm going to be getting my wisdom teeth out. So I don't know, next week's podcast, I'm going to try to get it up there on the net before I get my wisdom teeth out. So it'll probably be, because I plan to be probably incapacitated for a few days, for those of you who have ever, I've been taking polls amongst my friends of how I'm going to feel post wisdom teeth surgery, and I've been getting mixed reviews. I don't know, maybe I should put a survey up online. Says how many days you take to recover, but some people were fine within 2 days. Some people said it took them a week. So I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully it's quick so I can get back on the horn and get back to practicing and get my chops ready for West Palm Beach, because we're working pretty hard in West Palm Beach. We're doing a lot of shows. While everyone else is on vacation, we'll be doing circus shows for everyone. Thanks for listening this week. This wraps up, I think it's episode 14. We're at episode 14 already. It's Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World. And as always, if you want to reach me, you can leave comments there on my webpage at bestmochalatte.podomatic.com. Or you can, there's a call-in line on the webpage, which actually I can give you the number here, because I'm connected to the internet for once today. I actually have an internet connection, which is, here it is, 206-202-1444, and you can leave a voicemail with your lovely voice message on there, and if it's good, I may play it on the air, put up there. Just let me know where you're calling from and what you think about the show. And you could also always send an email at bestmochalatte@podomatic.com. And I'd like to send a shout out to Blueberry this week, blueberry.com. They're been kind enough to host the podcast this week. There, you can find them at blueberry.com, and there's no E in berry, because there's no E in fruit, which is brilliant. Thanks. So, yeah, go check out their site and some other podcasts. Good stuff happening over there. So I'm going to leave you with a new exclusive from Mad Dog. This is, I don't know what he calls it. I think he calls it Orient Express. It's kind of wild, but I think you'll enjoy it. So put on a pot of coffee or pull a couple shots of espresso. And until next week, drink what you like and like what you drink. Take care. Bye. Thank you.